Father God, we praise your holy name today. We thank you, Lord, for the mighty, wonderful name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for the power of the Holy Spirit in life and for your word. And Father God, you said in your word, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving thanks, be made for them authority over us. So Father God, we thank you for our president, vice president, senators, and congressmen, the legislators, the Supreme Court justices, federal, state, and local judges, governors, mayors, police officers, the armed forces, the CIA and FBI, and the judge for Lamb, for their staff and families, administration, loved ones. We claim their salvation, deliverance, and protection, and they hearken diligent voice, word of God. We thank you, Lord, for leaders around the world and nation world, that every nation has the gospel preached as a witness, and then as you come. And Father, we pray for all those laborers out there, that we know a few, God, you're never single one of them. All those apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers and co-laborers, that they preach your word in season out. Thank you, Lord, for anointing them, to equip them to do the work, Lord Jesus Christ. That you raise up people, Lord, to pray and intercede for all the lost. That all of us respond, Lord, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for the mighty works that you're doing in our nation and the nations of the world in Jesus' name. That every day more people are receiving Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior. And every day more believers are being taught about who they are in Christ Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit. And going forth and ruling and reigning in Christ Jesus. And God, we thank you for all of our blessings, Lord. You've been so good to us. Thank you, Lord, for the mighty, wonderful name of Jesus, the name is above every name. We thank you, Father God, we can glorify that name in Jesus' name. That everything we do in word or deed, we do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Father God. We give you all the praise and glory. Let's pray this together. God, I thank you that Jesus is my Lord. That every day of my life, I can do that which is pleasing to you. That you help me be a doer of the word. That you reveal your word to me. And I thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name, for all that you've given me, all that you've done for me, everything I'm aware of and unaware of, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Okay, if you have your Bibles, let's turn our Bibles over here to the Gospel of John. And I'm going to read here in the Gospel of John, page 918. That's 918. If you've got a Bible like I do. So here in, if you don't, you just got to fend for yourself. But here in John chapter 3, now the scripture says in verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus and a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said, Rabbi, we know that our teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said to him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he in a second time his mother's womb be born? And Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, and cannot tell whence it cometh and whence it goeth. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered unto him, how can these things be? And Jesus answered, said, are thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto you, we speak that we do know and testify what we've seen, and you receive not our witness. If I've told you earthly things and you believe not, how should you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No man have ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Now here's verse 15. That whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life or eternal life. For God so loved the world. Let's just read this together. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's go on. For God sent not his Son in the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Well, you remember in the book of Genesis, there was these God's children, Adam and Eve. God had created them and gave them everything on this earth. The whole world, the whole earth was blessed by what God had created. But Adam and Eve sinned. And this sin passed on you and I. You know, it's like in our spiritual DNA. It just passed on to us. And so God needed us to be saved. He wanted us to become His children. So God had a plan about what to do about this. No one knew about it. And His plan was to give His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, who was in heaven with Him. And so God had this plan that someday Jesus would come to this earth. He'd be born of a virgin. No human man on this earth would be Jesus' father. And so Mary conceived by the Holy Spirit come upon her. You know, we often read that at Christmas time. Mary wanted to know how this was going to be. She was a young lady and she'd never been with some man. And the angel said, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you and you're going to conceive. And she said, you know, that she, according to your word, be it unto me. Well, Mary became pregnant by the Holy Spirit. And she conceived. And later on, she had this baby. And his name was called Jesus. And the Bible said, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And this is why Jesus came. I mean, this is a short version of it. There's many books in the Bible that you'd have to go through to get to this point. But this is why he came. And the Bible said we were already condemned in sin. You know, it was just passed on to us, spiritually speaking. Just like, you know, they do research on DNA and they find out, you know, who your relatives are. Well, we go all the way back to Adam and Eve. They were our great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandparents, whatever you want to call them, you know. And this sin was passed on. And so what God did, he gave us a cure to sin. He gave us his Son, Jesus Christ. And so Jesus would live, you know, and minister lived to be 33 years old, and minister for 3.5 years. He was prepared all that time by the Spirit of God. He grew up in the Word. The Bible said he grew in wisdom and stature, and he grew in the Spirit of God. And so one day Jesus' ministry started. The Holy Spirit came upon Jesus, anointed him, and Jesus went around helping people. There was no one he ever turned down. People that had a covenant, people that didn't have a covenant, anyone would come to Jesus and respond to him, they always got what they wanted from Jesus, whether it was healing or forgiveness of sins. A lady caught in adultery, they brought her to Jesus. Jesus forgave her and said, neither I condemn thee. And so he forgave her. People that needed healing, people that had children that was demon-possessed, people that were blind, and Jesus healed them. He did all these great mighty miracles because he loved people. And God wanted the world to know. And the one thing about Jesus did is he introduced the Father God to us. In the Old Testament, he's called God. But in the New Testament, he's called Father God. And God's your Father when you receive Jesus, your Lord and Savior. And when you come to the family of God, you can go to the Father God about anything. It's not based on you being a real good person or doing real good works, then you're going to please God. No, you're saved by grace through faith. You can't earn it. All you have to do is ask Jesus in your heart, a real simple prayer. You don't have to cry, and yes, some people do cry. You don't have to ask God to forgive every sin you've ever committed, and some people try that. No, what you simply do, and thank God for all that, but all you have to do is just say, Jesus is my Lord. I believe in my heart, and I confess in my mouth that Jesus is my Lord. In other words, I receive him now as my Lord. And so Jesus came that we might have life and have more abundantly. And someday you and I are going to leave our body. And you don't have to be afraid of this if you're a believer. Someday you're just going to breathe out, and the real you, your spirit man that lives inside your body, is going to leave your body. And if you've received Jesus, your Lord and Savior, then you go be a Jesus. And someday you're going to come back and rule and reign in this life in Christ Jesus. And so when you receive Jesus, your Lord and Savior, you're receiving God's pardon. You know, they told this story years ago that there was a lady that wrote Abraham Lincoln. And she was a mother. And her son got in a lot of trouble. Like moms, you know, they never give up praying and interceding for their kids, you know. And so she wrote Abraham Lincoln a letter and asked that her son be pardoned. And Abraham, as the history says, he read the letter and was moved by this lady's, this mother's compassion for her son and to get her son released. And so he sent word finally got to the warden. Did you release this? I pardon it. You know, presidents can do this. Some governors in some states can. But a president can pardon. Sometimes the president, before they leave office, will have people they'll pardon. Well, or during office. So anyway, so they sent, the guard came down. And he had this, like this letter, the way I understand the story was, and said to the guy, he says, well, the President of the United States has pardoned you. And he opened up the cell and said, you're free to go. But you know, the man didn't believe him. He thought it was a trick. He thought they were trying to get him set up. And so he wouldn't leave his cell. And the guard kept saying, look, you're pardoned. This is a letter from the President of the United States that's pardoned you. But he never believed it. And he spent the rest of his life in prison. You see, it was so simple that it was hard to believe. The gospel is so simple. You don't grasp it with your head. You just have childlike faith. You come to Jesus as a little child and you just believe. All you have to do is believe that Jesus came to this earth, went to the cross one day, died on that cross, gave his life, and God put our sins upon Jesus. And if you'll believe that, you can receive eternal life through Jesus Christ. You can't get this by joining a church, even if you join my church. You can't get this through being a real good person and doing real good works. And thank God for good works. You reap what you sow. You do good, do this unto the Lord, God will bless you back. No, it's just simply asking Jesus to come in your heart. And so Jesus didn't come to condemn. He's not condemning you of your sin. He came to save you. You know, when Nicodemus brought up what Jesus did, Jesus didn't touch it. He could have said, yeah, I've done a lot of miracles. He went right back to the most important thing. He said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. And Nicodemus didn't know about this, even though he was a religious ruler or a ruler of Israel. Even though someone can be very prominent, maybe in church or a denomination, they still don't know the simplistically of receiving Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It just takes a couple breaths, you know, to receive Jesus, Lord and Savior. Or one, Jesus, I believe that you're Lord, and I receive you as my Lord. And that pardon wipes your slate clean. By you doing that, you're saying, I receive my pardon. I've been set free from all sins. Every sin that you know that you've done, and every sin that you know you haven't done. The Bible says to him to do good, and does not to him it sin. So just have an opportunity to do something, and not doing it knowing you're supposed to do it can be a sin. Not to mention adultery and everything else. But Jesus paid the price. And it's just real simple. It just takes childlike faith to ask Jesus in your heart. You can do it any place. You could do it in a bar. You could do it in a church. You could do it on a subway. You could do it by yourself. You could do it with a group of people. You could do it on your knees. You could do it any place. It's just simply you asking Jesus to come in your heart. It's by you confessing Jesus Christ as your Lord. And he comes in. You're not going to feel maybe any different. But when he comes in, he's going to begin to lead you through this world. He's going to begin to let you know why he created you. He's going to let you know that you're here on this earth for a purpose and a plan by the Almighty God. And so Jesus will lead you through this life. You'll just know from then on things you can do and things you can't do. And if you do something that you know you're not supposed to do and ask God to forgive you, he's forgiven you. He's made a plan of salvation. You take it by faith in Jesus' name and you get up and you just keep on going for the Lord Jesus. Actually, Jesus bore your falls. So technically, you really can't even fall. He's already taken everything to cross that mankind had lost. And he cleansed you. And he said here in this, if you go back to your left a few books, you come to the book of Matthew. And in Matthew chapter 10, Jesus said this, or about Jesus, in Matthew chapter 10, in page 838, if you got a Bible like mine. Jesus said in verse 32, whosoever, therefore, shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. Well, what do you mean confess Jesus? That Jesus is your Lord. You want to tell people that Jesus is your Lord. And if you'll do that, then he's going to confess you before your Father. Someday Jesus is going to say, God, he's one of mine. There couldn't be nothing greater Jesus confessed for you than to say, I know him. He's my child. And God's going to say, enter in. We all stand before God. And by having Jesus, your Lord, you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be afraid of dying, because you just like if you move to another city physically, you know, that may be all new to you, but, you know, you're just living someplace else. Well, when you leave your body, you're going to live someplace else. Your spirit man's going to be Jesus. And someday you'll get a glorified body, the kind that could, like, eat food and walk through a wall. Maybe, you know, Star Trek and Star Wars knew something about this. The force be with you, you know, and beam me aboard. Well, in the Bible, people got beamed around. Enoch got beamed up with heaven, didn't he? Elijah was just going along, and he got taken up. Some people call it the rapture or the catching up. You know the Bible calls it. And Philip was baptized a guy in water, and when the guy come up in the water, Philip was in another town. So maybe these people that made some of these movies knew something. The force is with you as a believer. You've got the angels of the Lord camping around about you, and they'll protect you wherever you go. It wasn't your clever driving that dismissed that, whatever it was. It was an angel that you don't even maybe see, but they're there with you. I mean, there's a lot of things we believe in that we don't see, but there's angels in camp around about you, and they'll protect you and keep you from dashing your foot against a stone. And so God comes by the Holy Spirit, and he comes in and dwells in you. It's real simple. Oh, I wish someone had told me this earlier in life. I grew up in church and went to church faithfully, but I didn't know you're supposed to have Jesus in your heart. I thought I was a Christian because I went to church, and I tried to do good things, you know, make up for all the bad I was doing. And some people came up to me and told me, do you have Jesus in your heart? Do you know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior? Have you confessed you as your Lord and Savior? Oh, it upset me. It made me angry. They offended me. They embarrassed me. They made me feel uncomfortable. I mean, actually, they didn't, but I chose to feel that way. And they talked to me about Jesus. And you know, the way they talk, they act like they personally knew him. And you know those words they said stuck with me? It pierced my heart. And the Holy Spirit started working on me. Though I don't know it's the Holy Spirit, but he's working on me. He'd bring back those words about Jesus. And some people, you know, they were laying on a deathbed, and someone had told them about Jesus years before. And while they're laying there, they decide to receive Jesus, the Lord and Savior. And the next breath or two, they left. They died. They perished. They passed away. But just in the nick of time, they received Jesus, the Lord and Savior. And it just takes a real simple prayer. All you have to do is want Jesus in your heart. And he comes and dwells inside of you. Your spirit man. Not your physical heart, but your spirit man. It's an interchangeable term. And the Bible shows us how to do this. It's so simple. It's found over here in the book of Romans. I'm going there now. Please go there with me. In Romans chapter 10. It's on page 982 if you've got a Bible like I do. Romans chapter 10. Now the Bible says here in chapter, on page 982. Now verse 9. Now this was hidden from me. For years, I didn't know these two scriptures. Two scriptures is all I would have had to know. Two out of all these pages. Look how many pages there are. In the Bible all along, the Bible that was in our house, the Bible's in the church pew, the Little New Testament they gave me in fifth grade, it was there all along, and I never knew it. I just kept going to church and going to church, and okay, good, praise the Lord, you're going to church. But I didn't know it was this simple. And after I found out about this, you know something, I wanted everybody to know these two scriptures. I mean, I'm always teaching Mark 11, 23 and 24, but sister, I wanted everybody to know these scriptures. I wanted everybody to know how easy it was. I wanted to tell everybody about this. It's real simple. It's not complicated. Jesus didn't make it hard. Oh, man, you know, if he said you had to crawl for days over broken glass, you know, well, hey, some of us be willing to do it. Or if he said, you know, you've got to stand on your head all night long or anything. Oh, man, we'd have tried it just to get it over with. If we could have earned it through penance. Or, you know, hey, how much is it? Well, I don't have that, but I'll be back. Uh-uh. It's just these two scriptures. And it's so simple that the devil kept it from us. And the King James Bible says here in verse 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess or say with your mouth the Lord Jesus, or Jesus is Lord, and shall believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be what? That's born again. All you have to do is believe in your heart that that story of the gospel's true. There was a man that came one day, his name was Jesus, and he went about doing good. And one day they took this Jesus and they crucified him. No one stood up for him. The collar was supposed to go out for Jesus before anyone was executed. Does anybody know anything good about Jesus of Nazareth? Let him come and declare it. And the cry went out. But no one came. And the Bible said, had the princes world known, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. That when Jesus crucified, those people had no idea, the devil had no idea what's going to happen. When it looked like when he hung on that cross, he's up there and he'd healed the sick and raised the dead and multiplied the loaves and fishes and turned the water into wine and walked on water while he hung up there and his blood was shed. People yelled up at him, oh, he saved others. Why don't he save himself? And why he carried his own cross and they put that crown of thorns on top of his head, it stuck inside. These are like this long, like spiked nails. This isn't like our little rose bush. I don't like roses because they got thorns. I mean, what's this all about? But anyway, the curse came. You know. So Jesus up there hanging, and people said, hey, you know, he saved others. Why don't he come down off the cross? They don't realize it. When they spit on him and offered him vinegar and pierced his side and mocked him and beat his back and drove those nails in his hand. I mean, there have been people crucified before, but the difference with this is that God is going to put our sins on Jesus. It was a curse to be crucified. He wasn't hung. He didn't have his head cut off like John the Baptist. He was crucified because it was a curse to be crucified. The reason Jesus didn't come down off that cross, and he could have called 12 legions of angels. And who'd have blamed him? Have that kind of power to stop it? But he chose not to because he loved you. And he didn't want you to go to hell. While he was on that cross, he was doing it for you. He'd have done it for you if there'd been no one else. And you have to remember, he did this for you. Not for good people. Not for anyone. He did it for you. And he wants you to just take it by faith and receive it. He didn't want you to try paying back. He just wants you to receive it. He wants you to enjoy it. He wants you to know his Father God. He wants you to have everything he's got. That's why Jesus came. It's not based on you being good, never sinning again, and being a perfect person, because that's not going to happen. Jesus took everything, past, present, future sins in your life. By the grace of God, you're saved. And there's no other grace, greater grace, than God's grace. He justified you. He'll treat you, now this is important, he'll treat you as though you've never sinned. You're justified by the blood of Jesus. His blood was shed. And that blood washed away all sins. You know, they're always looking for a miracle detergent to take out stains. Well, see, when we sinned, it stained us. But the blood of Jesus washed us from all sins. And so here in Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Oh, I wish I had known this as a little child. You could be 4 years old and do this. You can be 104 years old and do this. You can, whenever you, when you hear this, this is when you want to do it. Not later, not wait. This isn't something you go home and think about. Well, I'll have to give that some thought. No, 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 no. You don't allow your head to enter into this. You'll know in your spirit, your heart, this is something I need to do. You'll believe in your heart that I need Jesus in my heart. And that's the time to do it. This isn't something you think about for a while. This isn't like you're buying a car and you haven't made your decision yet. It's once you hear the gospel. The why, you have to do it right then, because something could happen. I got hit by a car when I was 15 years old. It wasn't a plan. Bang! Like that, it happened that fast. Now, we've all lost loved ones and people that we knew. And they were saved. They wanted to be Jesus. They wouldn't come back if they could. But see, the ones we weep over is the ones that didn't know Jesus. Or we're not too sure about. And so, you know, I had no plan that I was going to hit by a car. But we collided. The car won. It's one for the car, it's zero for me. But that wasn't on my plan. Things like that happen was never planned. So this is why, this isn't thinking about, you're not thinking about buying a car. You're not thinking about buying a house. You're not thinking about dating this girl or guy. This is something you do now. As soon as you hear the gospel, you receive Jesus right then. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. Now see, if we knew that we're going to live to be 115 years old, then hey, you know, you can mess around with this, but you can't gamble this. This is worse than Russian roulette. Because you only have one life to live to get saved. Once you die, it's too late. And so right now we receive Him as our Lord. And it just takes His scripture. It's not changing churches. Well, you know, if I do this, I got to go to another church. You don't do nothing. All you do is you do this. If there's anything else that you're going to need to do for God, if you want to follow God, He'll tell you. But to get to heaven, this is the only thing you have to do. Once you do that, you're secure until you die, and you're going to be Jesus. Now, if you want to follow God and follow His plan for your life, then you become a disciple, and we all should, and do what Jesus leads us to do. But for the sinner, they receive Jesus, the Lord and Savior. Now you see, it's not being water baptized is going to do it. It's not taking communion is going to do it. Or joining the church is going to do it. And those things are, praise the Lord for all of them. Especially communion and being water baptized. It's simply confess with your mouth, thou is you. Confess your mouth and believe in your heart that you must be saved. And that's how you get saved. You may not feel any different, may not look any different, but you become a new creature now in Christ Jesus. And verse 10 says, for with the heart man believeth in righteousness, and with the mouth confession means salvation. Verse 13 says, for whosoever calls me Lord shall be saved. Well, now, Jesse, well, why didn't you call him Lord when you went to church? Well, because these next verses say why. How then should they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how should they believe in him whom they have not heard? And now I should hear without a preaching. Now I should preach except they be sent. I didn't even know. No one in church told me you need Jesus in your heart. I had to find out from other people. My church didn't tell me. I mean, you know, we had a Bible at home. We could have read it. But here, these are the words of life. And Jesus comes and dwells in you. Now, the Bible says here in Acts, please go with me, Acts chapter 16. It's back to your left. Acts chapter 16, page 960. The Bible says in verse 25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas, they were preachers, and they're in jail for casting the devil out of some lady. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praise to God, and the prisoners heard them. They're in jail singing. How about that? And suddenly there was a great earthquake. So the foundation of the prison was shaken. Immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loose. So God's going to get them out of prison. The keeper of the prison, waking out of sleep, seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled because he had been given up. He would have had his life killed. Paul cried out in a loud voice, do thyself no harm, for we're all here. And he called for light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Well, you know the answer to that now, don't you? Because you read Romans chapter 10, verse 9, and you read Matthew chapter 10, verse 32. You know the answer. Now you can tell everyone. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. How many believe in your whole house is saved? All your relatives. Mine are in Jesus' name. Satan can't have them. Prayers, go out, reach out, get people. Prayer always works. Prayer changes everything. God uses our prayers. And takes those out and reaches people. Go back to the book of Matthew, please. I'll get back to your left, a bunch of pages. These are all New Testament scriptures and gospel scriptures. Now, the Bible says here in Matthew chapter 9, it's on page 837. Now, the Bible says here, Jesus himself said, the last two verses of chapter 9, verse 37, 38. Jesus said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord harvest, he will send forth laborers in harvest. Well, what you do is you've got relatives that doesn't know the Lord, you start praying, or friends or co-workers or whatever, start praying for them. I'm 18 years old and I was in the hospital and been there for a long time. And I have one of my brothers, I got three other brothers, and he was born again. And he felt like in his heart he should come and see me. So I don't know this. He told me this later. So he comes to the hospital to visit me, comes to my room, and I'm not there. And so he finds out that they've taken me for x-rays. Now, this isn't like today where stuff's a lot faster. I don't think they even had MRIs back then. Did they, Earl? No. Thank you. So you take your x-rays, you feel terrible physically. And then they'd want to turn you. And then they have to retake it. And it didn't come out. And then they turn you. And then they couldn't see it. And they're trying to get it. And then you go back, and you go back. You think about your people sick. First of all, you didn't want to leave your bed. And so they retake it. It takes a long time to process it. Maybe 20 minutes, maybe a half hour. Other people are waiting. I've seen people wait all day long for their x-rays. Got to take it again. Didn't come out. I don't know how it is today, but that's how it was then. So my brother comes in. He thinks the Lord wants him to come up here, you know. He tells me this later. He comes in there, and I'm not there. They told my brother, my mom said, the doctor said, Jesse's going to die. Well, he said, I knew Jesse wasn't saved, so I went to go see him. You know, my brothers never stuck up for me. I had two brothers that were born again, and they never stuck up for me. Other people said, Jesse said he's saved. And my brother said, well, if he is, I didn't know it. You don't stick up for other people about this. This is too important. You have to hear that person say, I'm saved, Jesus my Lord, before you ever say anything about him. No matter how they are. I mean, they're my brother. But they didn't say, oh, yeah, he's okay. He goes to church. I did go to church, but I didn't have Jesus in my heart. I went to church faithfully. But I didn't have Jesus as my Lord. Anyway, so my brother's telling me later on in life, I came there and you weren't there. And I just started to walk out thinking, well, I thought I was supposed to come. And I saw that the man was in the bed next to yours. He's like in his 60s. I'm 18, so this guy's real old. You ever seen people 60 years old? All right, so my brother's walking out. And he said, I saw him, and I started talking to him about the Lord and got him saved. And that guy died. That day or the next day. Five people in the bed next to me died. But he soon after that died, and his wife doesn't know he got saved. See, no one knows it except my brother. He talked about the Lord, read these scriptures like this, and got the guy to pray a sinner's prayer and received Jesus as Lord and Savior, and then died. Well, it just takes a simple prayer. This guy didn't have time to tell anybody hardly. I mean, he could have told a nurse, but that's how soon he died. Later on when I got saved, my brother told me that story. See, how's people going to know? You got to tell it. And when you hear it, you got to respond. If someone yelled, came in the room and said, the building's on fire! If you believed him, you'd evacuate. You could sit here and say, well, I don't smell any smoke. And base your whole life on your nose. You could hear the gospel message and think, well, I've never heard that before. And your mind says, well, that's you don't need to do that. You're okay. And base your whole life on your mind. Has your mind ever been wrong before? Has your mind ever told you someone wasn't going to do something, they end up doing it anyway? Sure, your mind doesn't know everything. It'll lie to you. But your heart won't. Your heart knows Jesus the way. Everybody, once they hear the gospel, knows they need to respond to Jesus, receive Him as Lord and Savior. I'm not talking to become like me, but to receive Jesus, your Lord. And He'll come in your heart. That's what Jesus did. Let's pray. You're here today. Bow your heads for a moment, please, in reverence to God. You talk to the Lord about your spiritual life. Do you have Jesus in your heart? Have you asked Jesus to save you and come in your heart? Now's your chance. Now's your opportunity. God did it all for you so you could receive His Son. It takes one prayer, one time, to get born again, to become saved. Not a bunch of prayers, nor a long time. It's simply asking Jesus in your heart. Have you received Him as your Lord? Do you know that you've asked Jesus to come in your heart and receive Him as your Lord and Savior? If you haven't, let's do this today. So you'll leave this service today knowing that Jesus is your Lord. He dwells in you. And so when you ever appear before God, you'll be able to know, you can go with utmost confidence and boldness that Jesus is your Lord and stand in the presence of God on that great day of judgment. You're here today, and you want to receive Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. I want you to lift your hand and say, pray for me, Brother Rich. I'm going to be saved today. I believe the gospel. I want Jesus to come in my heart. Just lift your hand and say, pray for me. Rest of us in attitude of prayer. But you want to receive Jesus today as your Lord. Lift your hand right now. Say, pray for me. I want to be saved. And then you can leave this service today knowing that if anything happens, and you died, you get to go to the presence of God, and you won't go to hell. You're taking Jesus, your Lord and Savior. Just lift your hand. I want to pray with you to receive the Lord. Don't be afraid. Just step out in faith in Jesus' name. Say, God, I want to be saved today. I want to leave knowing that Jesus is in my heart. He dwells inside of me. Father God, we thank you for our salvation in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that you sent Jesus so we might have life and have more abundantly. We thank you, Lord, for the message of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. That God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. Those who ever believe in Him shall not perish but everlasting life. Thank you, Lord, for our salvation. Thank you, Lord, for giving us our sins and cleansing us and making us your sons and daughters through Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to have communion. I want to read these scriptures to you before we go to communion. In Philippians here at chapter 2, it's on page 1020. Philippians chapter 2. This goes just along with the scriptures we read here. Verse 9 and 10 and 11. It's on page 1020. You got a Bible like mine? Wherefore God has highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, things in earth. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is what? Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's all you have to do. Please remember this. Make sure you've done it. And tell other people about Him. Tell people about that Jesus is your Lord. God will give you boldness. People need to hear what you've got to say about Jesus, that He's your Lord. And just ask God to give you boldness to tell someone else. God, you got to me. I want to tell somebody else. And God will open up an opportunity for you to tell someone, your mom, your dad, a coworker, a stranger, someone that you knew vaguely or very close to. And he'll work it out. And you can show them scripture like we read today from the Bible. And all you have to do is just show them the scriptures and read it to them or quote it to them. And then the Holy Spirit will do the work on them. You keep praying for them. He'll work on them and bring it, you know, back to their remembrance. We can't do what he does. But he needs us to do our part. All we do is share, stay prayed up, you know, and share the gospel with people, share the word with people. And the Holy Spirit will confirm it. Because the Bible says he does in John chapter 16. And Mark chapter 16, verse 20. He confirms the word, but also he'll show the person that they need Jesus, their Lord, in their heart. And you never pull back on your faith. You know, when you present the gospel, you believe the word doesn't return void. And praise God, the person's saved in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand in gap for him.